What, Jeff?
I just took a screenshot. This could be our first post for the Instagram.
I wasn't even looking.
I've been taking pictures of us during the episode that y'all didn't know about.
Oh, you have?
Aww.
I didn't. I sure didn't. Bastard. Got us again.
Hey, guys. Welcome back to Crime Pop. We're the podcast where we talk about fictional crime as if it were real. So today I'm joined by Trevor Lister.
Hi there.
And Jeff Wyrick.
Aloha.
And my name's Sydney Bowman. Today it's Trevor's turn to blow us out of the water with another great piece of media to cover in this episode. Go ahead, Trevor.
First off, I don't know if I'd say great, but second off, I just realized and remembered, Jeff, in the last episode, you promised you were going to say Buckos and Biscuits.
Oh, shoot.
You didn't.
I did. Aloha, Buckos and Biscuits.
There you go.
Well, we'll put that in.
I'm keeping you honest. I remember.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. So moving into this one, I believe this is a movie that, Sydney, you have not seen, right? The Scooby-Doo movie, the first live-action one.
So I've definitely seen the commercial. I remember the commercial very vividly, but I don't know that I've actually seen the movie. So I'm excited for this.
Oh, I hope you are. Man, at the same time, I don't know. I don't know if it would be worth the watch, like, going back.
It's good. I just recently rewatched them both, and they're fun to watch with someone.
Oh, okay. With someone?
You're right. It's fun to react to.
Not alone, though.
Okay. Yeah, I was just thinking, though, like, this, especially the first one. I'm having a hard time remembering the second one, but the first one was so heavy on the CGI that I just don't imagine it aged very well. So for this one, I did not go back and watch the whole movie. Actually, what I did was I watched the CinemaSins video to just, just get my brain rolling again. So let's dive right in. And let's talk about the beginning of this movie, where the gang is doing what they always do. They are investigating some sort of supernatural entity, I believe in a factory. Now, I don't remember like the reason or anything like this, but it goes through all the super cliche Scooby-Doo moments. So Daphne getting captured, Velma being the nerdy one that is trying to think of, like trying to be the smart one, or like is the smart one. Fred being the leader, telling everybody to split up, and then Shaggy and Scooby just scared out of their life, like scared out of their skins. And I still have no idea why they want to chase monsters when they're afraid. But you have all the normal Scooby-Doo things, except at the end of this little adventure, they are successful. They capture the bad guy, but tensions that have been building up for years start to surface, and the gang actually ends up splitting up. Like they grow apart. So Daphne, Fred, and Velma go their own separate ways, and Shaggy and Scooby are left with just the van, the mystery machine.
That's so sad.
Mm-hmm. There's actually a really great line in that scene where, like, as they're all quitting, Velma says she quits. Daphne says she quits. Fred says he quits. Mm-hmm. And then they all leave, and Scooby looks to Shaggy and says, "Do I quit?"
Aww.
Really? It's a very sad moment.
No, yeah, they've got the emotions in here. Oh, man. Jeff, I'm so glad you actually watched the movie. You can fill us in with some specifics.
Oh, I got so many quotes in my brain.
Oh, great. But yeah, Scooby-Doo, like, he's a really lovable character. Strange character, though, because he's a talking dog.
What's so weird about that?
I don't know. I guess a couple years down the line, the group is pulled back together by, I think, different reasons, if I remember correctly. Like, they all have different opportunities, but they're pulled into the same place. Is that right, Jeff?
Yeah, so like they're all working their own lives. Like one's a writer, one's a NASA scientist, whatever. And then, yeah, they're all invited back to go to this one event.
Mm-hmm. And they all meet each other on the plane ride over to Spooky Island.
I wasn't expecting the voice.
What, isn't that how you say spooky?
Yeah, spooky.
Anyway, so they're all forced back together. Shaggy and Scooby are ecstatic. They're so excited that all their friends are going to be together again. But everyone else begrudgingly gets on the plane.
Right.
Like saying like, oh, this is happening again.
Yeah, so they broke up. Sydney hasn't seen the movie, right? So did you say why they broke up? Because of like high tensions?
Yeah, yeah.
Like those feelings aren't forgiven. Like they're all still, like a couple of them still say, like if they knew that the others were coming, they wouldn't have said yes.
Yeah, I see.
Now, yeah.
So they thought they were each individually going to the island?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is correct.
Okay, got it.
So they were all invited for different reasons.
Oh, I see. That makes sense.
And Shaggy and Scooby, they see this as a chance to get the gang back together and everyone's going to be happy again. But everyone else is like, God, not these people again.
Right.
But yeah, so the tensions, like everyone was really fed up, like kind of for a lot of those cliche things, like Daphne was always getting captured. Velma was always like a little bit excluded and was just kind of the smart one. I forget why Fred was fed up with everything, but anyway, we head over to the island where our group is greeted by the owner of this place, which is like, this place is an amusement park, but they're, you know, just like any other Scooby-Doo interaction, there are strange things happening and nobody really knows why. But luckily we have the whole group here and they're gonna figure everything out. And I think in the very beginning you see something that's a little strange, like somebody talks to this girl and she just like picks him up and throws him 10 feet. And everyone just kind of looks like, huh, that's kind of weird. But that's it. They just brush it off. And I'm not really exaggerating, right, Jeff? Do you remember this part? Like she picks up a person, just throws them.
Right. It's like teenagers are coming in acting like teenagers and they're leaving acting weird. And it cuts to that moment where like she grabs him and throws him. Yeah, like 10 feet and lands at the feet of the gang.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh yeah, that is kind of strange. So kind of getting through this, I don't really want to just talk about the plot going forward, but I want to hit certain points because there are, I was almost going to use the word menagerie, but then realize it probably doesn't work here very well. But there are lots of different crimes that we have. Something else that I think is just kind of silly. So the two creepiest guys that you have out of the gate, you have like a shaman, I guess. Like he's kind of like a shaman.
Yeah.
And then his best friend is a luchador.
Oh yeah.
So he's got like the mask, the full getup and everything. And like these are the guys, like, oh, these are the bad guys. That's just absolutely silly. This time, the gang, like, they realize that something's up, and again, I'll say begrudgingly, they kind of all agreed that they have to figure out what's going on here, but they're definitely not gonna do it as a group. They say, all right, we're just all gonna split up and go our separate ways. And they all find out like different things about the island. So they start picking up information, like realizing, oh, there's actually kind of a cult, which we can revisit that as one of the crimes, forming a cult.
Yeah.
They find this weird device that they're really not sure like what, they don't know what it has to do with any of the things going on. But they know that it's tied to the cult. As they start investigating these things, they start getting like just more and more pieces, but nothing really, really makes sense. And I would argue saying that nothing makes sense in this entire movie No, but nothing really makes sense until like you get toward the end and there's a big reveal. So before I kind of transition toward this ending and toward like the middle ground, Jeff, do you have anything else to add? Like, was there anything significant that they discovered in their investigations?
In their first investigation, where they... So, anything that's significant they discovered other than the little device?
Yeah, the Daemonritis.
The Daemonritis, there you go. No, I don't know anything discovered. That's a big moment of, like, the gang's back together, though.
Oh.
Like, they go into the house individually, and they get attacked by the bald dude and
the luchador.
Yeah. And then they escape together and they're leaving like kind of all friends.
So they're reunited.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so right, like some sort of like trial by fire or going through the crucible or whatever. They go out or they go in separate and then come out as a gang.
This place is also a death trap. Like they avoid death narrowly.
Oh yeah. No, they're like giant swinging axes and or blades or whatever. There's the really weird scene where like food on the wall comes to life.
Yeah, it's a great scene.
Man, that was always creepy. Like that's in my nightmares.
There's an amazing moment again. Just like the most I remember is like stupid one-liners, but there's a great moment of like it turns off. Shaggy and Scooby are about to die, and then it turns off. They're like pinned to the wall, and they look, and they're like. Shaggy looks at Scoob and says, like, I'm like, Scoob, we made it. And then they start to laugh, and then the wall falls. So it's like, ah! They start to fall. That's a great moment.
Wait, this is where they meet Scrappy-Doo, right?
That's when they have the flashback around then.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's not really there. But so Scrappy-Doo's in this movie, which seems super random.
I have a question. Is this the one where there's like a ghost guy? It's like a person dressed in all white with like a jester hat on.
Yeah, in the beginning of the movie.
Oh yeah, in the beginning. Yeah, that's the thing that they're investigating at the beginning.
Okay, that's the only part I remember about the like trailer.
No, I remember the commercials too, and it was a big part of it. Well, anyway, so just talking about Scrappy real quick, so. I never mind. I guess I'll save it for later, but we'll come back to it. We have to. Anyway, so they get out and everything like starts seeming like even weirder. Like I think at this point, it seems like everyone has joined the cult. So like the island starts like appearing to be empty, and the gang really doesn't know why at this point. By the way, there are monsters running around.
Right. So, yeah, we've seen one at some point. I don't remember when, but
he chases Scooby, like, right?
Right. And it's like a real monster. Like they try to like there's no mask. It's a monster.
Yeah. They're like so the whole thing, right? Like in the beginning of the movie with the jester mask guy. Like, it was just them showing again and again that, like, it's always a guy in a mask. Like, there's nothing supernatural in this world. Like,
right.
But then they end up on this island where, like, they don't really have many explanations for anything. Especially, they find this monster, and I think they even grab his face. Like, oh, that's not a mask.
Velma does at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and these things are, like, freakishly strong and... evil, I guess. I don't even remember the explanation behind them, but like they're bad business. After a point, they actually end up finding a cave where the cult is practicing. Somehow, some way, I think Daphne, Fred, and Velma get their souls sucked out of their bodies.
Yeah.
And put into a cauldron filled with other souls.
What?
Sydney's losing it.
Sorry. We had a big jump there.
There's an attack at some point that happens, and like one of the lodges gets swarmed with like 100 monsters, and a couple get kidnapped, then later Daphne gets kidnapped and And they return back and they're weird, and it's you learn that it's because they're possessed by monsters. Then they go to this cave, and
thanks for getting us back on. God, I'm so glad somebody watched it.
I know, yeah, that's probably on me. I said things out of order, but yeah, then they go to this cave and they see that their souls are in, you know, Harry Potter, like the pensive.
Yep.
The pensive.
Yep. Yep.
It's something like that looks like that, where all these souls are spinning around this big soup.
Mm-hmm. And
gotcha.
Not Scooby, Shaggy reaches in and pulls out Velma's little head, and she's like, return me to my body. But no, like, so these things, like, weird things are happening, and I think that's when Velma really starts to believe, like, oh, something super weird, when, like, she goes back to her body, and then they end up talking with Fred and Daphne, except their bodies got switched.
Right. Like, when they release the soul, it flies through, and something at some point happened where Daphne went to Fred and Fred went to Daphne.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And there's the line. There's the line. The one thing I don't think I'll ever forget about this movie. Fred in Daphne's body goes, oh, I can look at myself naked. Like, what the hell?
Such a weird line for that movie.
For a kiss movie. But, yeah.
Super weird line. Like, these are childhood friends.
Yeah.
It is so weird. Anyway, so they get all back on track. But Shaggy and Scooby, they end up in a tussle. Like, they start fighting. And so the friends...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you remember why that happens?
Because of the girl they're with, Mary Jane.
Right.
Right, Mary Jane, not an important character, which not for this podcast.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
But sure, she's significant because she like causes betrayal and things. But Shaggy and Scooby fight, and they end up getting separated as the group starts getting back together, and Scooby like gets taken away. The gang starts figuring things out, and I think there was a big moment where the bald guy reveals like they need a pure soul to complete the ritual.
So Velma, doing research on the Daemon Rytus, discovers the ritual.
Oh, that makes sense.
That they need a pure. Again, nothing makes sense. It's like written in Celtic or something. Luckily, Velma's fluent.
Right.
Yeah.
Or there were also pictures on the thing that looked like hieroglyphics.
Something like that.
Anyway, so we start going toward the end of the film, and Scooby's about to get sacrificed. The soul gets pulled out, and Mr. Bean reveals that he's been the bad guy the whole time.
Mr. Bean. Did you establish that character's Mr. Bean?
No, I didn't say it.
The voice...
Rowan Atkinson.
Like, actually, like, the person that plays the
Yeah,
Rowan Atkinson.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. It's a crossover. Mr. Bean is in this universe.
To be fair, Scooby-Doo did a lot of crossovers over the years.
It's true.
But no, for real.
Surprise Batman.
So Mr. Bean, the bad guy, like, he reveals he needed all these souls of all these teenagers so that he could become an all-powerful being or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Oh, but just wait, there's more. We're not done yet. So at the end, they try to foil these plans and come to find out that Mr. Bean, this guy, the owner of the island is who this guy is. He's not actually the owner of this island. He's just a robot, and he's being piloted by none other than Scrappy-Doo.
What?
Yeah.
Sydney's facial reactions are so good.
God, I wish we could,
what the heck?
Like, digitize that, put that as part of the podcast. But yeah, Scrappy-Doo's been behind it the whole time. And the reason is because the gang, and this is really sad, actually, like, the gang just thought that he was so annoying. And like, one day when they were driving through the desert, they just, like, abandoned him in the middle of the desert.
in the desert. I mean, to be fair, he was like trying to stage a mutiny. It was like, you guys should be listening to me. And he, to be fair, he does say, either I'm in charge now or I'm gone.
So he does say that. He also like pisses on Daphne. But
he does pee on Daphne's coat.
Uh-huh. But anyway, so like because of this whole like situation, they leave him. And he tells everyone like how sad he was because of this. Like, I guess we have a yet another situation where like the gang becomes like his sole purpose in life. And he just wants to do everything he can to basically destroy them. And we're not over with the Daemon Rytus. Like, he needed all these souls. And like moments later, he actually gets Scooby's soul. Wait, does he get it?
He does pull it out of him. I don't think it ever goes into the Daemon
Rytus. It never goes into the Daemon Rytus. But all the souls that he's collected, they power it. And it gets pretty ridiculous. He becomes like a 30-foot tall mass of
mutated looking Scrappy.
Yeah, like he becomes this super powerful Hulk-like being, except he's like three times as tall.
Yeah.
And like he's like gonna kill the gang. Like that was his big plan. Luckily through other shenanigans and Daphne is played by the same person that acted as Buffy the Vampire Slayer, right?
Right.
Right. Anyway, so she pulls out karate or Krav Maga, whatever she does, and she kicks the luchador down on the soul of, or the cauldron of souls, and just ruins everything. And then the sunlight makes all the monsters go away.
That was something else that they had learned is that sunlight kills the monsters. They like set up a disco ball to amplify the sun.
Yeah, it was a cool death disco ball too.
It was a cool death disco ball.
So, but anyway, and that's basically the end of this nonsense. Like Scrappy Doo, I guess he gets arrested
by the Coast Guard.
Yeah.
So that was another thing. He had stolen the souls of the Coast Guard as well.
So nobody could go check on them.
Right.
But anyway, so at the end, like, Velma, like, proclaims, like, everything's cool here. Like, we figured everything out. No problem. But I don't think they mentioned that there's this soul-sucking device that can create beings of infinite power.
Yeah, what happened to that? I didn't think of that.
No, I don't know. They just forget about it.
Yeah, put it on Craigslist.
Anyway, so enough of, like, the plot. Like, it's been a long time just talking about this nonsense. There's like so many things wrong with what goes on here. Like you have somebody creating monsters, you have kidnappers, you have
setting traps for murder.
Yeah, setting traps for murder, like endangerment. I don't know.
There you go, endangerment. Yeah.
Yeah, like just all kinds of stuff. And I wanted to just briefly hint on, like, some of the other common crimes throughout the Scooby-Doo series. Like this kind of goes, like, above and beyond most of the other things, because in this world, like, they're portraying everything as being real. Whereas in most of the other crimes, it's like, oh, it's the guy behind the mask. And usually it's, like, to scare somebody away so they can, like, get some sort of real estate. Or, like, steal a jewel or steal money.
There's some other plot line behind it.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Which, I guess there was the other plot line behind this one. But, like, it's so much more sinister. Like, Scrappy finds this ancient power and he's going to use it to kill these kids in Scooby.
Right. But like consulting with the dark arts to commit murder.
Yeah. So like, it's definitely so much more sinister, but that's basically the list, right? We have attempted murder, we have forming a cult.
Yeah. Stolen identity.
Yeah, stolen identity. Oh, did they end up finding the owner? Like, was he like in a box or something? Yeah.
He's like in the or in the basement. He's in a box. Yeah.
So yeah. And anyway, it's just a super weird movie. And I talked a lot. What are your guys' thoughts on any of the elements?
Yeah. Sydney, what are you thinking?
I'm curious if I'm actually going to go through with watching this movie now.
Oh, no, you 100% should.
We only mentioned half of the nonsense.
Oh, there's plenty more.
Well, I think it is cool that it's not like your typical episode of Scooby-Doo. Like, it's not just someone, a human being behind the mask pretending to be a ghost or a goblin or monster or whatever. I do think that concept's really cool. So
it's also compared to some of the Scooby-Doo episodes and like a lot of episodes of the show or some of the movies even. Like, the stakes were so much higher here. I'm like, it wasn't even just the death of the gang. Like, as Scrappy's being arrested, there's a line from Shaggy where he says, "Geez, Scraps, you didn't have to freak out like a jerk and try to kill all humanity." there's a lot at stake if they failed, not just, you know, a diamond being stolen.
Yeah, no, he was in it for the long haul, and he was starting with teenagers.
Yeah, I don't know, the closest to pure, I guess. I guess easiest to tricks, probably more.
Yeah,
likely.
Well, he had to get his revenge first, right?
Right, right. That's fair. Got to start somewhere.
I guess the big one, like the big thing, like, are cults illegal?
I was thinking about that, and so, I was thinking, I don't think forming a cult is technically illegal, but any, you know, criminal acts that take place within a cult would be illegal. Okay. So I don't know. I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know if they did anything criminal within the actual cult itself. But
I mean, conspiracy probably. Another big thing that's often the illegal part of cults is money laundering. Scrappy's using all of the money that people are spending to come here to fund his criminal activity.
Also, this is a random thought, but I figure we might as well mention it 12 or 13 episodes in. None of us are qualified at all to talk about crimes.
Yeah, not I know. Even a little.
I remember thinking that way in the past, but yeah, I was like, I think as I was like calculating the years that someone would have to serve, like, I am not the person who would be making these decisions.
No, yeah. So just to nip this in the bud, right? Like, just in case any of you guys thought we were experts, right? And we know what we're talking about. No. That's not a thing.
Right. That's should actually. Go ahead.
Should we go around and say what we do? For a living, like
I'd be fine. I think it'd be fun to kind of cover backgrounds and why we all have interest in subjects like this. So, Sydney, you go first.
I've always loved true crime. I think it's really cool. My favorite podcast is My Favorite Murder, and I've listened to it since like the very beginning. I don't know. It's been going on like 6 or 7 years now. But yeah, I actually am getting my master's degree in clinical mental health counseling right now, and I work for a nonprofit that helps people with disabilities. So I am in no way qualified to talk about crime. I'm not in law school or a judge or anything like that. I'm just a person that has an interest in true crime. And you
have studied psychology.
I have, but that does not qualify me to
make
judgments about people's mental health at all.
But you do know terminology.
I do know terminology, yes.
Okay. Trevor?
I have a degree in Spanish and health science. I'm an English teacher. That doesn't really connect to anything in crime. I just like movies.
Yeah, I was going to say avid movie watcher.
And I did quite a few, like, I took quite a few classes, like a surprising amount of classes focusing on film when I was going through college.
Oh.
I didn't even think about it, but like, even at the Ozarks, I took like two classes and I don't even know why. Like, I just thought it was fun.
Jeff?
I was going to college for business. I didn't finish, but I went into a career of human services, like working with people with developmental or intellectual disabilities. And I've been doing that for a few years now, but I've always been a big fan of anything heist related.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's just any movie that's about heist, or like stories that are about heist. I don't know why. That's a genre that I really latched onto. And I just always find really exciting and interesting. When we started this podcast, this is a fun little background check, add 10 minutes to this episode. When we'd started this podcast, Sydney and I had discussed wanting to have a podcast for a while. Like, Sydney and I are both listeners to true crime and stuff, coupled with Trevor and I, who talk a lot about shows we watch or movies we watch. And it just kind of started, like, we had like a loose idea for what this show could be. I pitched it to you two and getting ideas back and forth, we kind of came up with a formula. And I think the biggest thing that makes us into this topic is just interest in general with the idea. Yeah, that's essentially how it started.
Yeah, you came to...
Here we are, 12 episodes in.
Yeah. Ooh. All rich.
Yeah. But yeah, Jeff, you came to me and you're like, hey, you want to start a podcast? I said, sure. Again, with like in an area, in a topic that I know like almost nothing about.
Right.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Another reason that Trevor I knew would be a great thing for this is because Trevor, no matter what, is always down for a waste of time.
Oh, yeah.
I knew he'd say yes to this. And I knew he'd be good at it because he's got a very, you know, analytical brain. So
thank you. I'm having a blast with you too.
It's a lot of fun. We talked about this at like episode 3, but like, it's so much fun to be able to look at these things through a different looking glass, you know?
I think those are called lenses, Joe.
There you go. Well, whatever. I was trying to say different perspective, but the word perspective wasn't coming to me.
It's the thing on your face, Jeff.
That's true. I have two looking glasses on my face.
I think we're good.
I think we're solid, too, because like, I love the movie, but it's a shit movie.
It's...
All right, guys. Thanks for listening to another episode of Crime Pop. We really appreciate you listening to us, and we hope that you really enjoyed this episode. We hope that you guys will follow us on Twitter. Also, recommend us to friends, family members, whatever. We are also going to be starting an Instagram page, so we hope that you'll follow us there as well. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
See ya.